Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Breaking Barriers with Jack Campbell. My name is Jack Campbell, and I'm very pleased to be and honored to be broadcasting live from the traditional, unceded, and ancestral territory of the Musqueam First Nations people. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM radio. And the date is Thursday, June 15th, 2023. And today's episode is dedicated to the year 1969. And we will be exploring, analyzing, discussing in a societal context, and pondering on the nature of music written in 1969 across all styles and genres and artists. Now, historically, perhaps the most memorable part of 1969 in terms of musical culture is the Woodstock Festival of peace and love and music. So what better way to start than an iconic 1960s song by Janis Joplin featuring Big Brother and the Holding Company live at the Woodstock Festival in 1969. Here's Janis Joplin, Peace of My Heart. Bye. Once again, that was Janis Joplin live from the Woodstock Festival with Big Brother and the Holding Company live in 1969, and that was Peace of My Heart, her iconic classic 1960s anthem. Welcome to CITR 101.9 FM radio. If you're just tuning in, I'm very honored to be broadcasting live from the traditional, unceded, and ancestral territory of the Musqueam First Nations people. My name is Jack Campbell. You're currently listening to Breaking Barriers, a show which takes music from the 20th century across all genres and styles and ways of creating, composing, and performing music, or what we consider music or are redefining as music, and analyzes it, places it in a social or historical context, and celebrates the brilliance and genius of these incredible, timeless artists. Now, today's episode, being centered around the year 1969, focuses very heavily on composition within the rock world, as it was such a critical year for the development of popular music styles and the revolutionary changes in production and the harmonic and melodic complexity and density of popular music and its forever lasting impact on culture and therefore human society. But as anybody who listens to this show knows, I do love to explore avant-garde classical and jazz realms. And today there is a smattering of rather unknown pieces from that territory. So I'd like to begin with a wonderful piece by the Liberation Music Orchestra. Now, the Liberation Music Orchestra is Charlie Hayden's band. Charlie Hayden being the classic American free jazz bassist who rose to prominence as the bassist in Ornette Coleman's quartet and then went on to become an exponent of free jazz and fusion jazz, playing with the likes of Ornette Coleman and other jazz legends, as well as rock musicians like Ginger Baker or fusion jazz players like Bill Frisell. Now, he founded the Liberation Music Orchestra in response to his belief that music can fight evil and oppression and fascism. The inspiration for this particular album came from when he heard songs of protest from the Spanish Civil War. And he knew that Spanish music had been adapted into jazz through Latin genres or records like John Coltrane's Olé, and he was a massive admirer of Coltrane, and you can hear Coltrane's influence in his bass solos with the free, modal-based movement, the flow, the intensity of the playing. And this also includes other protest jazz, such as a piece called Shay, which he was inspired to write by the 1968 U.S. Democratic Party National Convention, or by Che Guevara, the Cuban revolutionary. But what I am going to play right now is a piece called War Orphans by Ornette Coleman, performed by Charlie Hayden's Liberation Music Orchestra. Please enjoy. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jack Campbell, and you are listening to Breaking Barriers live on CITR 101.9 FM radio. And this piece is Ornette Coleman's War Orphans, performed by Charlie Hayden's Liberation Music Orchestra, from their self-titled first release in 1969. And on today's episode of Breaking Barriers, we are focusing on music across all styles from 1969, but particularly that within the popular realm, which in some way was progressive or revolutionary. Before I get on to other musical pieces, I'd like to take a moment to briefly give promotion to one of my fellow programmers. And it's actually an incredible thing to be able to say that this is a fellow programmer of mine, considering the legendary status that this man has and the fact that his show has done so very much and, well, perhaps more than anything, made CITR such a name in the Vancouver underground music scene. I would like to play you the promo for the Nardwar show, if I may. However, it appears that we're currently having a technical error with the computer, so that is all right. Figure that out, and I will move to some more music. So the next track that I want to play is also from 1969, but this is in a very different realm than that of Charlie Hayden's music. So one thing that arose in the 1960s was the concept of the supergroup, in which well-known virtuosic performers and songwriters from other bands that had been known in the 1960s or previously formed their own ensembles. And this always struck me as a crossover between popular and classical realms, because that was something that is extremely common previously in chamber music, where famous classical soloists would decide to come together to form an ensemble for a tour or a record or such. And this album is very much an example of that, where three very incredible performers in their own right came together for one record and one tour. The band is Blind Faith, with the performers being Steve Winwood of Traffic on vocals and keyboards, and Ginger Baker of Cream on drums, and Eric Clapton of Cream and the Yardbirds on guitar. This next piece is an absolutely beautiful track of lost and longing and lust. Please join me in listening to Can't Find My Way Home by Blind Faith.
Somebody must change.
That was Blind Faith with Can't Find My Way Home from 1969. Eric Clapton on guitar, Steve Winwood on keyboards and vocals, and Ginger Baker on drums. Now, 1969 is perhaps most known historically as a year of great political upheaval and turmoil. And this, as is always the case with any sort of music, ultimately slips in to the music being composed and produced. Now, of course, music itself is a way to reflect the world around you and your opinion on it, and hopefully change it. Now, classical music historically has had such a role in that kind of change, particularly in operatic work. The operas of Mozart, rebelling against class oppression. The operas of Beethoven, rebelling against monarchist oppression. And later in the 20th century, operas that responded to war and terror and the horrors of the nuclear age. But this also begins to take on operatic proportions in the 1960s in the popular music world. Another cultural happening to take place during this decade is popular music beginning to influence classical mediums just as much as classical influenced popular. Today, I will be performing works by composers that are not typically, I think, in the public mind, considered classical artists, but when you look at their impact and how they wrote music, are very much in that vein. And perhaps in 1969, the year in which this episode takes place musically, they are the greatest composers of that time. One such composer is Yoko Ono, and here is her Plastic Ono Band performing Give Peace a Chance live from a Montreal hotel room in 1969.
Two, one, two, three, four. Yeah.
That was the Plastic Ono Band with Give Peace a Chance, live in 1969. And once again, if you're just tuning in, this is CITR 101.9 FM radio. My name is Jack Campbell, and this is Breaking Barriers live on Thursdays at 10 a.m. Today's episode dedicated to the year 1969 in music. What always strikes me about that piece is the use of the classical technique of ostinato, or even the medieval musical technique of isorhythm, where one repeated musical rhythm and pattern is used continuously and unceasingly throughout the entire track, and everything else happens and evolves above it. 1969 was such a critical year in terms of the melting pot of musical genres combining together, and also the brilliance and virtuosity of individual performers with profound abilities in all senses of what was considered traditional musical brilliance being so highlighted in the releases and live performances of the time. Now, a track that I'm about to play to me perfectly represents both of those musical phenomena that I just described. A person with the most incredible power and range and sense of melody and phrasing that is awe-inspiring, and a piece that combines funk and traditional and rock and roll and soul and, most of all, rhythm and blues mediums into the piece. And somebody that we so tragically recently just lost. Here is the 1993 re-recording to especially highlight her brilliance of Proud Mary by Tina Turner.
You know, every now and then, I think you might like to hear something from us. Nice and easy. There's just one thing.
Job down in the city.
You see, we never, ever do nothing.
Working for the man.
Nice.
Every night and
easy.
Day.
We always
but
do it.
I never lost
nice.
1 minute
and
sleep.
Rough.
And I
but we're going to take the beginning of this song
the thing might
and do it
been.
Easy.
Big wheel keep
but then we're
going to
do the finish.
Turning.
Rough.
Proud Mary,
it's the way we
keep
do.
On burning.
Proud Mary. And we're rolling. Ooh, rolling. Ooh, rolling on the river. Listen to the story. Left a good job
down in the
city.
Working
for the man
every night and day.
And I never lost one sleeping,
and I was worrying
about the way that things might have been.
You know that
big wheel keep on turning. Proud Mary keep on burning. And we're rolling,
rolling,
rolling, yeah,
rolling,
rolling on a river.
On the river.
Saw the good side of the city until I hitched a ride on the riverboat queen. Big wheel keep on turning. Proud Mary keep on burning. And we're rolling.
Rolling.
Rolling, yeah.
Rolling.
Rolling on a river.
On the river.
Say we're
rolling
on a river.
That was Proud Mary by Tina Turner, re-recorded in 1993 for her biopic to highlight her incredible vocal ability. What a marvelous track. If you're just tuning in, this is CITR 101.9 FM radio, and my name is Jack Campbell, and this is Breaking Barriers, live on 10 a.m. on Thursdays. Now, something rather funny is happening here in the studio where I am unable to play our standard promos and ads, etc. Now, whether or not that is due to a technical glitch, which I think it is, or due to a glitch within my brain, I don't know. But I guess this morning you will be experiencing what I assume will be rather funny task of me doing the promos and ads myself. So first of all, I would like to let you know that here at CITR 101.9 FM radio, we would like to draw your attention to the Red Cross's fund to support the humanitarian crisis in Ukraine. I think this is something that is on all of our minds lately about what a horrible tragedy that is. And I know that, at least for me, I can often feel somewhat powerless in terms of how do I help with this? This is just such an atrocious thing going on in the world. But with the complex nature of terror like that and modern society, it can be rather difficult to know. So donations to the Red Cross Fund to support the people of Ukraine are a wonderful way in which to make a difference to those who are suffering. Now, on this broadcast, as you know, I like to play an eclectic mix of music from across all genres, including rock, popular, jazz, and classical mediums. And today's episode is focusing on 1969, as every other week I do an episode focused on a year from the 20th century. And today I'd like to take a especially unique approach to the classical idiom, because 1969 is a year that is so important in the development of rock and popular songcraft. And from that year, we see the influence of rock on other classical composers and mediums. And one of the greatest exponents of that cross-genre blend was Lou Reed. So here is the Velvet Underground with Candy Says in 1969.
Candy says, I've come to hate my body and all that it requires in this world. Candy says, I'd like to know completely what all the souls when I'm older, what do you
If you're just tuning in, this is CITR 101.9 FM radio, broadcasting live from the traditional, unceded, and ancestral territory of the Musqueam First Nations people. My name is Jack Campbell. Welcome to Breaking Barriers, broadcasting live Thursdays at 10 a.m. and exploring all genres, styles, and performers of music from the 20th century. Today's episode is entirely based around the year 1969, and you're currently listening to Candy Says by The Velvet Underground. The Velvet Underground being a key moment in the interpollination of classical and popular mediums. Now, along with that, The Velvet Underground are sometimes considered the first punk band. And here on CITR 101.9 FM radio, punk music is such an integral part of our history, our past, our present, and our future. Now, earlier I was going to plug the Nardwuar show, which unfortunately I am able to play our official promo for it due to a technology glitch, but I can say that that show has been broadcasting live from this radio station every Friday afternoon since the late 1980s, and it is still going every single week. And do tune in, because it is a riotous, fun time, and I do myself rather regularly. And now I'm going to play something entirely different from punk music. This is Extrapolation by John McLaughlin, and the reason I choose this piece is because it completely defies any sort of category. There's rock, there's the beginnings of heavy metal, there's free jazz, there's modal jazz, there's classical influences, there are Eastern traditional influences, there's a flamenco influence, there's a funk influence. I feel like almost every genre of music is in this album from 1969. So here's Extrapolation by John McLaughlin. You are listening to Extrapolation by John McLaughlin from Extrapolation, the album released in 1969. Now, as you can tell from listening, this music defies category, or genre, or classification. It is also a brilliant display of guitar virtuosity. And perhaps the 1960s was really the true age of the guitar virtuoso. And I think one thing that is commonly agreed upon in music history is that one of the key displays of guitar virtuosity was Jimi Hendrix's performance at the 1969 Woodstock Festival. Here is Jimi Hendrix doing Purple Haze live in
1969.
That was Jimi Hendrix live at Woodstock in 1969. And I really, in my humble opinion, believe that is one of the most powerful, brutal onslaughts of sound that I have ever heard in my life. Every time I hear that, it just hits me like a load of bricks. And to use the heavy metal expression, you can feel your face completely melting right off. Now, of course, Hendrix is such an important cultural figure in terms of, you know, what he represents for music and for liberation, for the integration of so many different styles together, and for, and I think what he should be remembered for is using, not only making the electric guitar a well-respected instrument in terms of its compositional and timbral possibilities, but also reminding people of what a force of positive change music can be in this world. And then someone else who did that was James Brown. Here is his Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud, live in 1969. You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM radio, Breaking Barriers with Jack Campbell, live Thursday mornings at 10 a.m. And this is James Brown with Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud, from 1969. And as we're coming to the end of this episode, I'd just like to take a moment to provide support for two local organizations which CITR supports wholeheartedly. And unfortunately, due to a technology glitch, I cannot play their actual ads, and they can promote themselves much better than I can. But I'd still like to wholeheartedly express my support and recommendation of Trek Coffee and Lita's Mexican Food, two wonderful establishments that I sincerely hope you will visit. Now, for the final piece of today's episode, there's an old cliche in music history where people will talk about the end of the 60s with the Altamont Speedway Festival and the death of many notable musicians and sort of the death of the dream and the rise of conservatism in the United States becoming the most prominent political force and, you know, the environmental catastrophe and the war in Vietnam going on and on and on. And although I believe this is a somewhat overused trope because, you know, great change did happen and these trends in music did continue, I think it's a little bit like this myth that grunge sort of eclipsed hair metal overnight. You know, it was a more gradual transition. There is very much some truth to that. And one of the sort of almost mythological moments in music history is the Beatles releasing Let It Be, and the Rolling Stones releasing let it bleed, which people have used in an almost mythological way to sort of represent those two different artists and their two different perspectives on music and sort of what they were led to be in the musical climate. But to do a little bit of myth-busting here, the Rolling Stones actually released Let It Bleed first. It came out in 1969, and Let It Be by the Beatles came out in 1970. So I'd like to end this episode on the music of 1969 with what is actually my favorite song. Here is the Rolling Stones' Gimme Shelter from Let It Bleed. My name is Jack Campbell. Thank you so much for listening. See you next week.
Down.